From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You see, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. We need deep and caring relationships in order for our lives to be healthy. God looked at a perfect environment, everything perfect with man, and he said, but it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. You see, God was saying that people were made for people. People need people. And so when God saw that, he looked and said, it's not good. So God created a family. And then God said, now it's good.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne will teach you how to succeed in business, in your community, or in any other area of your life. It all begins by learning to become successful at home. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, What's a Family For?
Wouldn't you agree that there are a lot of forces at work attempting to change the family scene today? I mean, it just gets worse. You've seen the statistics and the voices that are barraging us saying that the family is outdated. The family is finished. The family is obsolete. But I want you to know that the family is not finished. The family might be fragile. Family might be fragmented. But it is far from being finished. The reason is because family was God's idea in the first place. And because it's God's idea, it's going to outlast all of the critics, all of the attempts to try and change the definition of family in the legislature. It's going to outlast everybody's attempts to try and remove it, because if God put it in place, heaven and hell will fade away before God's design fades away. And so because it's God's design, instead of us trying to fight it, maybe we should try to cooperate with God's design. That's a novel idea. And so we're going to take a look at it to see how we can do that. And to find out how, we've got to rewind the tape all the way back to Genesis and see how it began. Because when we go back to the beginning, we can find out a little more clearly what God's design is all about. Because with all of the barrage of voices today, I mean, you can see how even on television, you watch television, and you ever notice that they rarely portray a healthy or normal family? Most of the families on TV are abnormal, or they've got adultery in it, or they've got weird overtones of sexuality, of weird perversion, or you have the Simpsons, you know, and everything is just discombobulated. Click, 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 click. But we want to see what God says. So in Genesis, it says that God made man to live in a perfect garden. But even when he made a perfect environment, everything was perfect. Man was there, everything beautiful. You know what God said? He looked at it and said, it's not good. It's not good for man to be what? Alone. And so he, in answer to that, he created a family. You see, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. We need deep and caring relationships in order for our lives to be healthy. God looked at a perfect environment, everything perfect with man. And he said, but it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. You see, God was saying that people were made for people. People need people. You're not made to live alone. You can't get healthy. You can get selfish. You can get reclused or secluded, but you'll never get healthy without people around you. And so when God saw that, he looked and said, it's not good. So God created a family. And then God said, now it's good. Now it's good. Family is the world's oldest institution. The oldest institution of all. Goes back to the beginning of time. Family. And God created it way back then. Well, what's the purpose for a family? What's a family for? If you watch Murphy Brown, she says it's an option. You take a look at Michael Jackson's life or Madonna, it's optional. It's optional. And God says, I saw that man alone wasn't good, and I created a family, and that answered that problem. You see, man does not do well alone. In fact, one of the worst forms of punishment in prison, I was looking at a thing last night. They were saying, well, we should take away weightlifting from prisoners, and we should take away television, because that'll really, really get them to think. I thought, you know, the worst of all punishments is solitary confinement. When everything is taken away and you're alone, and God says it's not good that man be alone. And so he created family, the oldest institution of all time. And so let's take a look at what a family is. What is it? To some, it might be a convenient tax break. For others, it's just bed and breakfast. That's it. Place to sleep and a place to eat breakfast. Then they're gone. They don't eat lunch at home. They don't eat dinner at home. They come in late. Then they have a bed there and breakfast. And that's it. It's a common address on the block. It's a tax break. But what does God say is a family? Well, let's take a look at these four reasons. Number one, would you write it in your notes? The home is the center for credibility. C-R-E-D-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Credibility. For the Portuguese people. Credibility. It is a center for credibility. Let's read 2 Timothy 2, verses 4 and 5, paraphrase. Ready? Go. Train them to be sensible and clean-minded, spending time in their own homes, being kind and obedient, so that the Christian faith can't be spoken against by those who know them. And let's read what he talks about with pastors and overseers of a church. In fact, he says what makes any pastor credible is not his preaching skills. What makes a pastor credible is not how much he moves in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean how big of a ministry he builds or how eloquent he is. Listen to this. If anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, it's a fine work that he desires. This one must be what? One who manages his household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. For if he does not know how to manage his own household, how will he manage the household of God? The only reason I can stand behind this pulpit is because my family is in order. That's out of order. I lose credibility here. That's what the Bible says. You see, your home is a center for the credibility of your life. The home is the oldest institution in the world today of all history. The family is the smallest form of government. Do you know that? The smallest form of government is the family, because they're governing rules and respect and roles, etc. The family is the smallest church in the world, where the father is to be the head of the home. It's the smallest form of government. It's the smallest church, the oldest institution in the world. What happens in our churches and what happens in our society is directly related and dependent to what happens in our homes. You watch homes start to split and it becomes normal. You watch churches start to split and it becomes normal. You watch the fighting in homes, you'll see the fighting in churches. You see the complaints in homes, you'll see it happen in churches. In fact, Barbara Bush said a very insightful thing when she was talking to her to a graduating class, I believe, at a Will Helmsley College, an all-girls college. She said something very poignant. She said this, talking about the government. She says, what happens in America today is really not determined by what goes on in the White House, but what goes on in your house. Because when our families begin to deteriorate, you'll see government start to deteriorate. Because families are like a relay of values. Your family is like a baton, a passing relay event, that you take values and you pass it to the next generation, and then they to the next, and they to the next. It's a relay race of values. The question is, what kind of values are we placing in their hands? Are we placing any at all? So family is a boot camp for life. And if you can solve problems at home and not collapse, you'll be able to solve problems in the marketplace. If you're able to be genuine at home, you'll be genuine in public. If you're not genuine at home, you won't be genuine in public. If you're dishonest at home, you'll be dishonest in public. But if you're honest at home, you'll be honest in the world. If you have self-control at home, you'll have self-control in the marketplace. But if there's always volatile anger at home, you'll see the same in your relationships at work or in church. Same thing, because the home is the center for credibility. What you are at home is what you'll take into the world. If you really want to know what kind of a person I am, ask not Dan Shima or any of the staff, Don't ask people that I've spoken to. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. Because that's the real you. Otherwise, we live two lives, don't we? And it'll never match. I mean, you can see people, you know, they're at home and they're Christian family and they're yelling at each other. Oh, shut up. Oh, won't you shut up and get me my beer? Why don't you get it yourself? Oh, shut up. Turn the TV down. All of a sudden, their phone rings. Ring, ring, ring. Shut up. Shut up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How are you? Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, glory to God. That happens all the time. I see people coming in the church in the car. And they see me. But you see, what you are at home is what you really are. Isn't that right? You see, home is a center for credibility. And you want to be prepared for life, be prepared in your family. Your family is the boot camp for life. If you can do it at home, you'll do it in the world. People, listen. If you're successful at home, you'll be successful in the world. If you can have a good governmental system based on love and charity and compassion and relationship, not on policy, not on rules or regulations in your home, but on relationship. And if you can understand and develop that and have self-control when things don't go right and solve problems in an amicable way where everybody says, great, that's a win-win kind of thing, and you're able to lead that, I tell you, you'll be successful wherever God places you in business. But if you can't do it at home, you're dreaming out there. I mean, it's a pipe dream. It's only a glossed over shell with nothing inside. Your home is a center for credibility. And if you can put that deep in your heart and make that a challenge, make that a challenge and succeed, then you'll be fine out there. Sometimes pastors will come to me or people that want to go into ministry and they'll say, you know, Wayne, I want to be a missionary. So I said, okay, wonderful. I'm just going to really win the natives over in Africa. Oh, that's great. Or in Zambezi or wherever, or Papua New Guinea. Great, great. What are you doing now? Nothing right now. What happened? Oh, I got fired from my job. So since I don't have a job, I thought I'd be a missionary and really do good over there. And I said, you know, if you can't do good here, if you can't win people with your own language, if you can't share the love of God and be influential with people that are nearest to you, you're dreaming if you think you're going to do it overseas when they don't speak your language and don't know your culture and don't give a rip about you. If you can't do it at home, there's no way you're going to do it out there. So number one, home is a center for credibility. Ask God to help you to begin. Now we're just going to rewind the tape to home. Begin at home. And when you can begin at home, it'll take place out in the world. Number two, it is a shelter from the storms. It is a shelter from the storms. We all have storms in our lives, don't we? Why? Because life is tough. You go through storms, every single one. Things won't go as planned. But God says that the family has been designed to be a refuge for storms. Let's read Proverbs 14:26 together. Ready? Go. Reverence for the Lord gives a man strength. His children have a place of refuge and... Would you underline those words? Refuge and security. The Bible says God created the family to be a refuge in storms. There's storms that'll hit our lives. Failure is a storm. When you relocate, that's a major storm. Job change. When a child gets an F in school, is there a place of refuge from the storms that's going on the inside? When you get turned down for a promotion, where can you go? You know why so many people are moving to alcoholism today and illicit sex today? Because homes are no longer a refuge. They can't find that at home anymore. Because the home is as great of a battleground as is outside the home. And so they have to seek for refuge and peace somewhere. Can I say this to the men? The women can just kind of close your ears for a second. Men, it is your responsibility to establish your home as a sheltering tree where you can come home to and it's peacetime. Your wife can come home and your children come home and it's always peacetime. Well-led, well run. It's a refuge from the storm. You say, well, Wayne, what if I go home and there's nagging here and nagging there and it's not a refuge? Then it is your responsibility to teach that. Your responsibility to counsel that and work it until it happens. If it takes 3 days, 6 months, 2 years, it's your responsibility to initiate that until your home turns into a sheltering tree. And if you need help, go get help and get someone to help you in counsel. But make sure that your home becomes a sheltering tree. When a team loses of a child, there's a death in the family. So many things that happen. Regardless of what life deals to me, I need to know that there's a home and a family that I can count on. You can handle a whole lot of failures in life, tons of failures, if you can come home to hugs and where people believe in you. I tell you, you'd be almost impervious to failure. Let's read Ecclesiastes 4:12. Ready? Go. One standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Isn't that good? Isn't it true that when you play certain kind of games, your goal is in the game is often at times to get home. The goal in the game is to get home or make it home. Why? Because when you make it to home, you are safe. It's exactly true. Homes were meant for safety. I remember watching a friend of mine. I was visiting with him in his home, and the bus pulled up in front of his house, and a little child of about, fourth grade got out, and must have been a hard day. Kids must have been biting at him and calling him names or whatever it might be, because he got off the bus, and you could see that he was biting his lip, walking towards a house like this, and his dad looked out, and I looked and said, must have been a bad day. Yeah, he said, I think so. And so he waited, and his son came through the door, just gritting it up. And he said, son, what's the matter? Come on in. And as soon as he came in, he started crying. And I kind of chuckled a little bit because he was tough as nails till he got home, and then he could let down. You know why? Because it was safe to cry. Home was a safe place. And that's what it needs to be. Then your home becomes a healing center. You understand that? Becomes a place where people heal up from all of the cuts and scrapes in the world. It becomes a place where people can heal. And listen, not only your kids, but your spouse and you. And guess what? Not only people in your family, but when your house becomes an atmosphere of healing and safety, you watch other people start to come to your house because they know your house is safe. And you become a center for ministry. So even if you don't have a family, is your house, is your home, is your area, is your life a sheltering tree? Is it something that people can come to and feel safe with you to let down and share their heart? And then ministry can take place and healing takes place. And God says when that happens, not only in our lives, but in our homes, and whether you have children or not, is that under your jurisdiction, under your sphere of influence? Is that a sheltering tree? Because when that happens, people will come because they know they're safe with you. And my prayer is this church becomes a safe home. Because there's people that are going to come into here, wherever we're meeting as New Hope Christian Fellowship. We want it to be a safe place where if they need to cry, they can cry. Where they need to ask for help, they can ask for help. We want to squelch pride, where people come in and feel, I don't need to ask for help. We want to create an atmosphere in such a way that people come in and they say, hey, hang this. I want to help. I want help. I want to ask for help. And they're not going to have pride to stymie them, but they'll come in and see an atmosphere of love and acceptance and forgiveness and a sheltering tree, and they'll reach out for help because it's a safe place. And God's going to be bringing many of them, many of us, were some of those that he had brought in. And we can welcome them because this becomes a safe place, a place of healing, a place of restoration. We cherish that. And so our homes get to be a place that's safe. It's safe. It's God's idea that families would be shelters in the time of storms. Number three, a family is the learning center for life. What's a family for? It's a place where you learn. Mark 5:19, Let's read that together. Ready? Go. Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you. What is God saying? He healed someone, and that person said, Lord, I want to just travel with you. I want to go with you. And you know what the Lord said? No, you're healed now. Now go home. Take your healing home. Teach them and tell them the great things that God has done for you. Why? Because families should be learning centers where we can share what's going on in our lives in such a way that we help one another. You see, all of the basic skills in life we learn at home. Isn't that right? How to walk, how to talk, how to eat. We learn them at home. How to treat one another. That's relationship. How to take a bath. I mean, all those things. How to use a TV remote. All of the basic skills in life we learn at home. And God is saying these homes should be a center for learning. Let's read the next one together. Ephesians 6:4. Ready? Go. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You see, God is saying that it is our responsibility to train and instruct our children. In fact, when training your children, you want to take them through three stages. Here's three stages of control. You can just write this on the side of your notes. Number one, parent control. The first stage is parent control. They need to be able to submit to parent control. Number two, self-control. Self-control. Because when your children become teenagers, they need to have learned by that time self-control. Parent control will go to about age 12, where it's just pretty strong parent control. But your prayer is that they graduate to stage two, where parents become a parent counselor instead of parent control, and they learn self-control. Control. And then your goal is number three, when they graduate and are on their own, they learn God's control. God's control. And when they learn those three things, they'll be fit for life. Parent control, then self-control, then God's control. Let's take a look at Luke 2:52 and let's read it together. Ready? Go. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God, and in favor with man. You will see four areas of growth. It says Jesus grew in wisdom. What would that be? He grew in intellectual growth. That's intellectual growth. Stature, physical growth. Favor with God, spiritual growth. Favor with man, social growth. There's four things that we are to teach in our homes. Those four areas. Number one, intellectual growth. Number two, we learn spiritual growth or physical growth. We just grow physically, learn diet and how to eat, etc., hygiene, etc. Number three, we learn spiritual growth, our relationship with God. And number four, we learn social growth. And that's what Jesus did in his home. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. You see, your home becomes a learning center, and Jesus modeled that. How do they learn? They learn these from parents. They learn these from us. I mean, have you ever heard the saying, like father, like son? That's so true. I mean, I look at Aaron, and I am utterly amazed at how much Aaron is like me. I mean, it's scary. I mean, he's brilliant. He's funny. He's good looking. No. But our children really follow after us, and more is caught than taught. They won't follow your words, they'll follow your actions. I mean, you can't say, be honest, kids. And then when the phone rings, Dad, it's for you, just tell them I'm not home. What do you think they're gonna follow, your words or your actions? You see, your actions give credibility to you, what you say, or it steals credibility from what you say. It's your actions, not your words. It's your actions, because more will be caught than taught. And that's why home is a center for credibility. That's where you become honest or not. That's where it shows up. That's why family is God's design. It's so important, because that's really the boot camp for life. If I miss it here, I'm just dreaming out there. But if I can successfully live here and negotiate relationships here, then I'll be fine out there.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, What's a Family For? By Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us how our home is the point of contact for our life and how Satan will do everything he can to ruin that point of contact. Tomorrow, we'll learn how to fortify our homes by becoming families of integrity. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Start your Christmas season off by joining Pastor Wayne Cordero and New Hope Christian College for our free annual performance, Christmas on the Hill. Experience an extravagant evening filled with song, drama, dance, and a special message from Pastor Wayne Cordero. Performances are Thursday, December 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. and Friday, December 6th at 12 noon. Admission is free, but seating is limited, so get your tickets soon at newhope.edu.